Iowa. Yes, Tim.
Hi, Till. When you came on, for some reason, it asked me about the being recorded, and when I pressed 1, it then dropped the line on me, so I just called back in.
Yes. Yes, I have really, this minute, I have called in and activated the record button.
Right. Thank you.
So that everything is set up. I'm also testing now the screencast. Up to now I have found out that it works with Firefox 3, but not with Firefox 4.
Oh dear. That's a problem. It's speaking for myself, because I don't really want to fall back from Firefox 4.
Yes,
it's my
yes.
Main browser.
I also don't want to have carrying a machine around which has Firefox 3. What I will test also is whether I can be the sender and not one of the participants on Firefox 4.
Right.
And also whether I can be the sender on Conqueror.
Yeah,
I use the Firefox 4 box as a participant, but in reality this box is my laptop, and so it will be the sender during the summit.
Right.
As long as no one else on the Open Printing Summit will be the sender with his laptop.
Right, but I don't think we need...
Hi, Glenn. Yes. Ira and Tyr.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, doing well, actually.
Well, that's good to hear.
And you, Ira?
Except way too many things on my Samsung and my standards to-do list, I'm doing fine. And starting to plan for my trip to California this weekend, and moving home 2 weeks after that, but other than that, it's like fine.
Tomorrow I have to work on getting ready for next week.
Right, and maybe more if I can. But I gotta update MFD alerts, because Bill's threatening to just kill off projects that we're not moving fast on, which
I'm testing your screencasting software now, Andrew.
Ah, okay.
And he's having reasonable success, except, ouch, apparently you can't be presenter if you're Firefox 4, a bad problem for some of us.
He's not participant. Presenter, I didn't test yet.
Yeah, participant. And so Till was going to look into, can you... Yeah, use Firefox 3 at some level or not.
Yes, you can use Firefox 3.
The trouble is that a whole lot of us would have to fall back from our primary browser, which is Firefox 4,
in order to make it work. Firefox 3 works.
Yeah, I have this exact same problem with my webmail at Samsung. It's like it never catches up to new releases of IE or Firefox, so I'm always having to keep around an older version of some browser. Till, I was going to ask, you might consider testing SeaMonkey, which is rock solid, and it's the Mozilla libraries, and the Gecko renderer.
Yes.
I use it all the time because I use it for editing web pages, but I also put it on all of my family and friends' machines, because when something goes wrong with Firefox, you still have a browser other than IE.
Yes. One problem can be that SeaMonkey, perhaps, on this Ubuntu Netty box, is also based on the Firefox 4 libraries.
It may be, but even so, they just did a minor point release. SeaMonkey didn't do a major release because they have a whole bunch of functionality in Composer and elsewhere that they want to ship later this year or next year, I guess.
But one thing is that they went apart due to the feature freeze, because Firefox has a lot of exceptions on the Ubuntu feature freezes and on stable release updates and so, but SeaMonkey has to follow the feature freezes and stable release update conditions, and so perhaps it's really based on older libraries.
It's hard to know. Historically...
So, this would be a good alternative on Linux distributions, as where you find easily see Monkey usually.
Well, as well as Mac and Windows distributions, for the same reason. It's there. It does the Gecko rendering library, so if the page can't be rendered, it does.
Interesting, but not the common print dialogue.
Nope. okay, and are we here to talk about common print dialogue? I thought we were here to talk about last steps, but I'm happy to talk about
I was just trying to short-circuit the conversation.
I know. All right, fine.
So, what do we want to discuss?
Till's agenda was final questions and issues for the summit, last step.
Speaking of final questions, and speaking on virtual rooms for a second, is the free trial going to last long enough, or do you need me to create a room? Because I can create a room.
The free trial is for 60 days, so it goes over the summit. But it would also be good it's also good to know that you can create real rooms. Perhaps it would be even better because the free trial is limited to 10 persons. This would mean...
Oh, that may well be a problem.
...participate 10 people. And if
so I can...
want to participate, they have no pictures.
I can create rooms as big as we need. I just need to know ahead of time a rough idea of how many people.
Okay, Andrew, if you assume half the people from PWG in point of fact aren't going to travel up to San Francisco but are going to dial in one day or the other on the voice call and would like to have the screencast, and you then assume historically we have had, till 8 or 10 people calling in, mostly from Europe or from the U.S. who couldn't travel.
Yes, and I think with a 10-people limit, we get easily full, especially at this joint PWG session when we get something like 8 people from Europe and something like 10 from Cupertino, then we are over the 10.
Yeah, I'm guesstimating that 20 or 25 is probably the largest amount that we would have. So we don't need a room for 100, but a room for 10. Till's probably right. We'll probably overflow it.
I'll set up a room for 25 and send out presenter and participant keys.
Okay.
Can this be one room lasting over the whole 3 days so that...
Yes, as a matter of fact, it can.
One has one key pair for all the time?
It depends on what you want. I can set up individual rooms for each day, or I can set up one that lasts 3 days.
We would much prefer one that lasted 3 days. It is simpler logistically for everyone.
Yes, yes. If you don't pay per minute and so have to pay a fortune for the nights, then it's no problem.
I'll get it set up right now.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay,
and
so that was a good topic. And we can add to the...
we can add this participant key to the section about calling in, so that throughout the whole summit, on this participant key, you can get the pictures of the projection.
Just from PWG experience, for what it's worth, you might want to put, send me an email and I'll send you the key so we didn't get a whole lot of people using up our slots that were in fact not calling in for that purpose. But, we published the phone access code. I guess it's okay.
Yes, yes. And I think I cannot imagine very much that someone would simply watch...
Yeah, you're right. Hijacking a WebEx doesn't do you any good because it's not interactive, beyond the chat. You can't do anything with it.
It's not a two-way connection. It's only one presenter who is broadcasting the pictures and people can watch them. It's not...
You're right. Okay, so that's fine. I take it back. Okay. So other logistics or final topics or anything?
What we should not show is the sender's code.
Right. Right. Certainly not the presenter's code. Shouldn't be sent.
Yes. Only the participant's code.
Yeah. The presenter's code should be held rather carefully in private email.
Yes. And you sent me also the presenter's code only for the also to Ira, only for the very, very rare reason that due to some travel problems or other problems, you do not show up.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's backed up.
So, Andrew, is it likely that it's not going to work next week with Firefox 4, and so other SeaMonkey or old versions of Firefox or IE or whatever browser might be necessary?
I will check with our support folks and find out when the 4 update is going to happen. They have been pretty good in the past because the Firefox is a supported platform on Linux, so...
Mm-hmm. When you check, would you mind asking them, because Till and I were just talking about this when you guys were coming on, whether the current SeaMonkey is using Firefox 4 libraries so that it also suffers from the not supported, or whether SeaMonkey works?
No, the not supported is simply Firefox 4.
Okay.
Although I don't even know if we would support SeaMonkey. I think they check browser...
That's what I wanted to know, because SeaMonkey is my fallback browser, and it is for some other people.
Yeah.
Because it's the it's the tool of choice for editing.
Out. Firefox 4 is officially out, so several people would have this on their systems.
Well, yes, quite
so
a lot of people do.
Don't look at the release date of Netty, which is after the summit. The release date of Firefox is already a week ago or so.
And making me completely crazy, AVG doesn't have an update yet, so all of their nice Safe Search plugins don't work. Makes me crazy.
And also important to say is that I also really want to come with a laptop on which Netty is running, so that I can show the newest stuff. And not stuff which is half a year old, especially concerning automatic download of drivers, because this is for the first time officially supported and working in Netty.
Okay, do we want to talk about the Common Printing Dialogue at all right now, or just talk about it next week?
I was just trying to get a different conversation going as well. So
yeah, all right.
Is there any other logistics to discuss?
I don't think so. We've got phone, and we'll have as good a phones as we have, hopefully decent, in the room. And
all
and
the time
screencast.
We got a conference phone.
Well, good. So, I mean, with luck, we should have pretty decent setup.
Yes. The last I remember the last two summits, we always had a real conference phone.
Till, this is a dumb question, but is there going to be a projector in the room, you know, that we can plug into a computer?
I have asked for that.
Okay. Because, of course, everyone can open their computer, but that's not necessarily very good depending on the internet connectivity.
Yes, and we also do not want that the people who are in the room are using the screencast.
No. And we should say as much to them. Please don't, you know.
The number of wall plugs.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Do we have other logistics, friends?
I might try to put a set of slides for the JTAPI thing together just for something to talk to.
Yes,
that would be really nice.
Please send the slides or post the slides so that we have always the slides available before the appropriate presentation starts.
Because things
before
happen.
The summit, so that people can more easily select sessions where they want to call in or come.
So currently the thought is to make them just kind of some of the old stuff, because it's been like 5 years since we looked at this. you know, what is JTAPI and a couple things about the object, and then discuss
right.
a little bit about the maybe the PWG job ticket, and then just a couple sentences about the activity.
Okay.
Just so everybody has on the same page.
Well, and to mention that we have it as a proposed Google Summer of Code project.
Right, that's one of the sessions from
yeah.
2 to 1 to 2 to 3:30.
Yes, yes. To say about the Google Summer of Code, currently we have only the one application of the one student who already decided before to participate,
mm-hmm.
a student who will work on Fumetic. And no other application. The Linux Foundation in total got 5 applications where one is unusable. So, in reality, 3. In reality, 4.
Can we?
And 2 applications are from the same person.
Oh.
So, applications come, but I think we must wait to see for more time, because it goes until April 8th.
That's what I was going to ask, Joe. Okay.
Yeah, most students will probably apply near the end.
So I'd like to change the subject just slightly a bit.
Okay.
I don't have much time. So I was going to put some slides up, but I don't know if I will yet. But one of the things in the Common Print Dialogue we discussed were skins. And one of the other aspects of the Common Print Dialogue at this point is basically related to skins. So the question is not so much, I just want to get your opinion here in this phone meeting, is that the skins need to change because everybody has different human interface guidelines.
Yep.
So that's okay. So commonality is the back end, and the things that make it adaptable are the fact that the skins change or whatever. But another concept I thought about when I was trying to write these slides was that even though we want to use their human interface guidelines, we also want to have our own guidelines for how a print dialog must be done and blah, blah, blah. So that's defining objects, elements, attributes, the range, groupings, interactions, constraints, whatever. So is that an idea we want to do? So yes, we have to apply the open printing guidelines to the human factors guidelines, so to make sure that the print dialog at least has the right information on it the right way. I don't care what it looks like. Anyway, something to think
about. Would be sort of abstracting that out of the design stuff for...
The stuff that's already been done, and part of it's out of, you know, we came up with a lot of objects and documents and ranges of values out of JTAPI.
Right.
So just kind of setting up things. Like, I don't need to set a condition that every time I'm going to tell somebody, don't print duplex on transparencies. It's ridiculous, okay?
Right.
I mean, there's some things that are so obvious we don't need to keep repeating them.
Right.
And maybe we could do a lot of those that would solve the 99% case.
Maybe. You're thinking that we can get a lot of mileage out of stating static constraints like that one?
Through these set of guidelines, you know, I don't know. It's just
I would hope that the guidelines, Glenn, only said, you know, must or should use the PPD or JTAPI names of the attributes and the respective enumerated values, and should not present completely random other, you know, synonyms for duplex, etc.
So another concept or idea, thank you, you're a great straight man here, Ira. Another concept I had was that we need to prevent the problem which happened with the printer MIB, private printer MIB.
Yep.
We should set up a registry. If you want to add a command to the print dialog, you have to use one of the words we define. If you don't get to change the name, okay?
Yeah.
And if you really need, you've come up with something really unique, I don't know what that is, and you need a new name, and it's not defined in any other way, then we'll set up a registry. And
then we'll register it, and we'll add it to the updated C header file for JTAPI, and, you know,
whatever.
Put in the registry, and here's the PPD, you know, keyword, the prefix to put this into a PPD.
And please, because we have no way to enforce any of this, please stop using your own words.
Right. Please, that's what I was thinking about open printing guidelines, you know, could say, you know, if you conform to these guidelines, you must not use your own words that are synonyms for standard terms that are here in the lexicon. In
yes, JTAC, the concept was that if the human interface changes, at least the words, the terminology, the objects, and the range of values is constant.
Right. Yeah, is meaningful.
It's enough or number of pictures on the page. I don't care which one you use, but pick one, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, Glenn, I'm a little confused by your comment about PrinterMIB. There, of course, has been, since PrinterMIB V2, an IANA registry. And
Private.
Oh. Well, I mean, private MIBs, you can't do anything about.
Right, and there's so many names for different things that, you know, if you try
looking
through one, you'll...
You're right. No, if I want to go find some piece of job information in various private MIBs, I have to... It's painful.
You need a small crate with a language translator.
Yeah.
We want to try to eliminate the private extensions.
Okay. I see what you're getting at. You're trying to say we should start right out with a registry and say private extensions are non-conforming.
Right. And please, if you really have to, we'll add it to it, and it's not a problem, we'll add it, but
yep.
You're not going to tell me it's a hardware resolution and DPI. No, pick. We decided on DPI or PPI or whatever we decide on.
Yeah. Right, yeah, right, exactly. The resolution is only done in one unit on account of we already decided this question.
And I don't want the user to have to know, now, what is hardware resolution on this machine and PPI and DP? No. Now, whether it's a square box, a round box, an entry box, a drop-down box, or purple, orange, or gray, I don't care.
Or buttons, or transparent, or whatever. All of that doesn't much matter.
But then you at least know what the concept is.
Right. And where their interface presents them the underlying actual enumerated keywords, to wit the English keywords, to the end user, it's unambiguous. I'm really getting duplex.
Yes. And I know what duplex means.
Yeah, and I know what duplex means. I know the standard definition of duplex taken from IPP and ISO DPA, and therefore I don't have to wonder what is duplex.
Right.
I know what the result will be.
And then the back end.
Standardized option and choice names allow even programs and scripts to operate the printer and to do certain settings, and not only users who are operating a dialog.
Right, because programs and scripts can do it.
Flexibility in how to do printing.
And that pushes back.
Printing is done from a server. Like, for example, if you have a web store and buy something so that the server can send a print job for printing the invoice.
Right, and that's helping mobile, Till. So now the skin has changed to an icon, which says print, you know, basically looks like a little web page with a printer on it, and it says print a web page. Now, the interface, the skin has gone away, but all the back end now is all common. Because everybody agreed on a common set of dialogues and attributes. Silence. I don't know what that means. Okay.
It means I'm typing. I agree with you, Glenn.
So I think those are some ideas we could bring up at the summit. And as you said, Ira, we can use pre-existing work, just organize it.
And if options have standard names, desktops can then give the menu entry names, can provide the menu entry names, and if a desktop provides a menu entry name, it is very easy to get hundreds of languages of translations.
Yeah.
Right, that's what I was getting at, Glenn.
The translation infrastructures of the desktops are great. They support really many languages.
Right, so now...
We have a lot of volunteers providing the translations.
So not only do we define the word resolution or some of the duplex or whatever, we also have it in many languages.
And right, with proprietary extensions you could never get.
That would be impossible, right. So now we have this fixed table, and everybody uses the same fixed table. Even now it has another dimension called language. Okay. Anyway, an idea to discuss at the summit.
Okay. I caught a little bit of notes about it, and we'll try and afterward take a little better notes, Glenn. But it's a good. So it's for open printing interface guidelines for UI, right?
Under the old title of coherence.
Right. Yes.
Interoperability, what other words would you like to use?
Right, yes, and certainly coherence is the whole idea. But the bottom line is it's going to work and work in many languages, whereas if vendors keep going the way they have gone, then...
whoever wants to make the skin or whoever wants to make the interface says, oh, I just go to Open Printing and I download this C file, has all the stuff I need. I just made printing simple because people don't want to worry about printing.
Well, no, they don't want to worry about printing. They simply, it must just work. However, I noticed that everyone's really, really annoyed when printing doesn't work.
Yes, and no one wants to pay to make it working.
No, it could somehow just all be free.
You can't even get volunteers for Google Summer of Code.
So, Till, is this unusual to have this few applications a week before the deadline on Google Summer of Code? Or
The deadline is 10 days. Mm-hmm. The whole application period is 10 days. It started this week on Monday.
Oh, okay.
And next week on Friday.
All right.
So I also want to tell you that you should register as mentor if you...
Oh, we have to redo that? Okay.
If you want to be able... At least if you want... You do. Even if you do not want to mentor a student, but if you want to read the applications in the Google Summer of Code interface, you need to register as a mentor. So that, for example, if you want to give opinions on the applications and help sorting them out in the case that more than one student applies for the same project.
I'm praying for one.
And so that we have to select one. And so...
I didn't mean to push the meeting, but that was all of my input, and I need to leave. Last
okay.
week my boss was gone, so I could stay, but this time I can't.
Okay.
One thing is not so nice,
Glenn.
With applications and
bye.
Can
bye.
Yes, and can make the flow can be negative on the flow of student applications coming in. Google has changed the user interface of the web application on Sunday. One day before opening the student application period, and now with the new interface, we are missing a lot of features. And in the mentor mailing list, there's a lot of discussion and a lot of postings about this feature is missing. It must be put, and that feature is missing. And how do I register as mentor and so on? And the web developers at Google are now adding one after the other everything which is needed for the thing finally to work. And I hope this will not turn too many students away when they come there and it does not work.
Oh, I see what you mean. So we may have
some
difficulty.
It's a very bad timing to change the interface in the middle of the preparation period for the Google Summer of Code.
Yep.
Mentoring organizations, mentors, and students have to find together. So perhaps some students have looked and they have looked to the wrong time when important features of the really also a thread in the discussion that many mentoring organizations have perceived that the flow of applications is slower than normal. That they got less applications for the first 3 days than they have gotten in the previous years. And this is not the first change of the interface. There was another change, I think, 2 years ago, but it was completely before the beginning of the application period for the mentoring organizations.
Yeah, this one was really bad planning.
Yes.
Okay.
So I hope open printing will not run again with only one student.
Well, we'll see.
Yes, yes. Which would be the case if we do not get any application anymore. One student is really now ready to start, because he has done research work on Fumetic before, and therefore he is worth more for me than anyone who I do not know and who applies during the 10 days. But if another student applies also on this, I will look whether we can do more on Fumetic, and then two students will work on Fumetic. Then he simply will do other things on Fumetic, the second one. Yes. And one thing which I wanted to talk about is that last week I got an email from Peter that he told that already weeks ago the German government organization was promising to call him to talk about the further funding, and they never talked again. They never called again. So it seems that we have to now to live without the German government organization as a sponsor, as a funding sponsor for the Common Printing Dialogue, and we have to start from zero again.
Oh dear, you mean we're not going to get the funds that they were promising?
Looks like not.
That
Peter is not getting on an agreement with them to get at least partially.
Joe, I think I'm not going to put this in the minute. Someone who listens can hear it, but let's talk about this next week and see if you or Peter can get any more, or Lars can get any feedback from the German government.
Yes.
And for the record, I am still working on getting additional funding from my standpoint. It takes a little while to come up with new funding, but I have great hope that we'll be able to come up with something.
Okay. Well, we have some funds committed from Canonical Ubuntu.
25,000
euros.
I've asked for more, but did not get any return about that. Hi, George.
Hey.
Hi, George.
Hey, Ira.
George, I hope you have seen my email. Your newest PPDs are packaged now, and so auto-downloading.
Cool.
On Ubuntu.
So we were just on the point of winding down, George, but
sorry, I was late.
Well, that's okay. Glenn had to, as is usually the case, leave early, so he left at the half hour. But we got through a little bit of conference logistics and some discussion of Google Summer of Code, whose applications period started this Monday and ends next Friday, the 8th. Till was pointing out that the Google Summer of Code support people changed the web interface completely and left out many features. They put a new one up, and this may be reducing applications all around. because apparently if you looked at it early on, there were important features just plain not present that were always there in the past. So if you were a student,
uh-huh.
you might conclude, well, it's not working. I won't do it. And we talked a little bit about a proposal for open printing interface guidelines for print UIs from Glenn, which we'll talk about next week, to cover skins and subsets on other, like, mobile platforms, and focusing around a registry of new attributes from vendors into the JTAPI PPD well-known names and values space, and the guidelines, the open printing guidelines would, per UI, would say conforming implementations must not implement unregistered extensions. They can't claim they're conforming if they do. They got to actually bring their new attributes and register them. And so maybe that could be a force to make both machine-readable and human-readable interfaces much more reliable and extensible across other platforms where, for instance, the common print dialog code base doesn't run anyway, except maybe the libraries.
Right.
So we'll probably talk about that next week. And do you have any last questions, logistics, topics, anything you want to talk about?
No. Well, I think that was sad. Look forward to see you guys.
Yeah.
It's wonderful you guys be here.
I have confirmation. I got confirmation today that the joint meeting with LSB on Friday is taking place.
It is. Oh, good.
Yes. Yes. The LSB guys finally answered Jeff Likia.
Okay.
And I have also written some weeks ago and remembered yesterday people who registered for the Linux Foundation Summit for participating in MIGO stuff.
Right.
To have a joint meeting with us about mobile, but I didn't get any answer from these people.
Right, I think you CC'd me on that note because I saw this thread. I'm hoping they respond, but we'll see. It would be nice if they would respond.
Yes. And I think for this we have the Linux Foundation Collaboration Summit, so that very many projects are doing their conferences at the same place together, so that they can exchange with each other.
Right. It's much more convenient than usually it is.
Because if we do a separate printing summit, then it would mean if someone else, for example, from MIGO wants to participate, he has to travel again, and usually they do not get so much travel funding from their employers. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm just was making notes. Yes, yep. I'm still here. Are we about done, Till, I think? Oh, George, there will be a conference phone, a proper conference phone, and a video projector in the room the whole time, and Andrew is creating a 3-day screencast session that'll have one key. So
that's cool.
Not for those in the room. Those in the room should not be using it so that we don't use up the seats, but that way PWG people who are not traveling up to San Francisco and people in Europe and elsewhere who couldn't travel to the conference can watch the slides as well as hear the audio.
Yes, the audio is going over the phone, and the slides are going over the HP Virtual Room facility, like last year. And one thing is very important about the slides. With the Virtual Room, we have the slides live, but One thing is important. First, it is much easier to send the slides via the virtual room if they are all presented with one and the same laptop and not each presenter with his own laptop.
Oh, right. That's and not a good
presenter
idea.
Presenter would need the client software on his machine. It's available for all three operating systems, but we already know that's not compatible with Firefox 4, and we don't know whether this will be fixed up to the printing summit.
Right. Forewarning, George.
Yes.
Right now, Firefox 4 doesn't work with this.
Okay.
But, so, you know, you have to use IE or fall back to a Firefox 3X or use it some other browser.
Yes, like eMonkey, Conqueror, Internet Explorer, depending on which operating system
you
are running.
We'll see what are the, but anyway, when Andrew sends out the stuff and Till puts it, adds it to the agenda site, then you can check at the HP site and see what browsers are supported. But anyway, not surprisingly, it didn't instantaneously catch up and support Firefox 4, so it reads the browser signature and says, nope, don't know about that one.
Yes, and I didn't get an error message. It simply the program, the client program, did not fire up.
Uh-huh.
So it seems even that it's not not a problem of it checked the ID of the browser and found an unsupported browser. It looks for me it's really technical compatibility problem.
Oh, a compatibility problem
in
the
browser.
Yes,
because I didn't get an error message.
Yeah, could be. Could
if it would check the signature and the signature...
You would expect an error message,
I would expect an appropriate error message.
Of some kind.
Yes.
Okay.
And
well,
therefore,
then,
I want to ask everyone to make the slides available before the session.
Right. Till
even
for
before
the
conference. And also to put up the slides as PDF on the site so that if someone does not succeed to get the screencast working, he can simply download the PDF and pass through the slides manually.
And even when you have the screencast, you can't flip back in the slides.
Yes,
I always
yes.
keep a local copy showing on my machine in addition.
Yes, that's true.
Till for
screencast
the,
is more or less like TV without sound.
Yeah. For the IPP session, I was going to make slides, but I realized Mike has made excellent slides for the IPP working group for next week, and I'm just going to spin through those and skip the one, or, you know, highlight the ones that I want to highlight. But those will have up-to-date document links
and
so on.
And Mike's complete slides, we will then simply add as the slides for this session to...
Yeah, I'll just give you those. I mean, they're in, I think... still draft, but they will be final draft by later this week, and I'll just give you the URL to the PWG site, and you can paste that link straight into the, you don't even have to upload them to the open printing
yes,
site.
Yes. That's I will upload them anyway to keep history.
Oh, yeah, no, you're right. Yes, you should. You should. Speaking of which, you and I need to remind Mike that he's on the hook to do some cup slides. For the State of Cups report.
Yes. Yes, and important is for everyone to provide the slides as PDF and to agree with that. We put a copy of the slides physically on the Open Printing Summit site.
So there's a solid archive of all the slides.
Yes.
Yeah. I agree.
So the site in the next years is still usable. If there are only external links, then it's a problem that the slides will disappear sooner or later.
Yeah. Not PWG ones, because our FTP links are durable forever. We never delete a file.
That's okay. That's great.
We just keep adding storage to the server. But, I mean, the PWG has a 12.5-year-long archive of all the Free Standards Group stuff too, you know, and now open printing, you know, the specs, JTAPI and so on, that stuff is all there, where I still post minutes because it's rock solid and I have the access to it. Okay, so everyone should send slides in PDF and or post them themselves so that so that they can be up beforehand. And a reminder with that in the subject line to the Open Printing Summit list pretty soon, you know, send slides in PDF, send or post slides in PDF, you know, beforehand, because we need to get them, you're right, on the OP site and with local links in the agenda so that someone can, in a pinch, pull the slides, because, among other things, screencasts can fail, right?
Something can
go wrong with the screencast or with the person's laptop who is projecting, and by the time we recover from that, we've wasted far too much time, so we should continue with people picking up the slides from the site.
Yes, yes, and so everyone can download the slides, also everyone in the room can download the slides, and so he can simply pick the plug off the projector and go on. And also, if the screencast is working, the person, probably Andrew, will have to download all the slides to show them.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's the easy way to do it, rather than going and collecting them from people.
Andrew, I have got a mail from you.
Yep, you can actually add slides to the room, so...
Yes, we probably could, Andrew, and that's a possibility. However, what Till was alluding to is in open printing and in PWG, we try to have durable archives with the agenda and on the local server of all of the slides.
Right.
And we have 720 minutes to discuss everything.
Yes. So the max that I can open a room for is 12 hours, so the room is open from 8 to 8 every day.
Ah, yes.
Okay.
So we have a little bit time before and after if we do not start directly at the point or not end directly.
Well, especially we have we also have the set it up and make it work before we try to start the
session. Yes, we have some time for testing.
Yeah. Yes, so while we're having breakfast, we can test.
That's why I made it 8 to 8, so it's 12 hours is the longest I could get, and I figured that was the best use of 12 hours. So it's the same key all 3 days.
Yes, and all 3 days are the same code.
Yes.
Oh,
the
excellent.
Same key,
okay.
Yes.
And if for some reason we reach the maximum user during the events, I can actually log in and bump it up even further.
Oh, yes. Okay.
It's currently set at 25, so hopefully we won't reach it.
I think that's going to work just fine, Andrew, as long as we remind people in the room not to mindlessly go join the screencast when the slides are right there in front of them.
Yes. Yes, then this will work. Last year we have suggested, but it did not take place, an evening session for the Japanese. What do you think? Should I try to suggest it again?
I think we should not. My reasoning is, if we're lucky, Toritani-san shows up alone once every 3 months. I mean, our attempts to do evening teleconferences with Japan have not been very successful in the last year or two.
Yes, yes, that's true. They also do not participate in our regular teleconferences.
Right, which is frustrating because we actually, you know, go to some effort, you and I, at odd times of day and night in order to have, you know, a quarterly with Japan and on rare occasions someone else besides Horitani-san joins us. So it's good that we have those, but I don't think we're going to get participation out of an evening session, so I would rather not schedule one.
Yes.
Should I put that in the minutes that we're not planning to have
yes.
it?
Yes.
Okay.
Only when I only remember that we have tried such thing is I've looked through the emails from last year to see what email exchange was there about the screencast, and then I have seen that, and so I think for the Japanese the real regular communication setup really does not work out.
I think we will just not manage to get participation, and we will all be frustratedly sitting there having
yes.
a meeting in the evening after a long day.
Yes, that's true. So we don't do it.
I mean, if there had been a request, that would be different.
Yes, there was no request from the Japanese. It was only my idea arising from seeing the last year's emails.
Yeah, it. Well, we tried last year, but it didn't work. So I don't really see why we should try to schedule
it. No, I will not do it.
Long schedule. What with PWG earlier in the week, it's going to be a very long week anyway. Okay. Well. Let's see. Okay, I need to write that note about no evening conference. No evening session with OP.
And another thing is also when you are looking through your slides and uploading them or sending them to me, also think about whether your presentation has some special technical requirements. Like, for example, last year Peter had the requirements of having speakers to show videos, so that you tell it to me, the earlier I get this information, the easier it's probably to set up correctly, and the easier is it to do such a session.
Now, I got any special requirements. What was your example, Till?
For example, on the last printing summit, Peter was showing videos and therefore asked me for speakers. I got the speaker. He asked me the day before, and so I got the speakers in time, and they were there when he was starting his session. So only to remember anyone who has some special requirements,
okay.
That he tells me perhaps even before the event starts, so that I can simply ask for the stuff and the stuff is there when the session starts.
Okay, I put that as a note under slide should be sent in PDF to Till or posted to Open Printing Site early. I put tell Till about any special requirements, for example, speakers for video. Okay, well, darn near the hour, and I have a whole lot of other things to do today. I imagine everyone else does. I suggest we adjourn, Till.
Yes, I suggest that too.
Okay, see you all next week, Till. I will see you Sunday,
Sunday
at our hotel, because our planes are different times.
Yes. Only, Ira, can you stay in the line?
Yeah. Andrew,
where are you guys staying anyway?
Wild Palms in Sunnyvale, because it's exceedingly reasonable and a very nice hotel, and we've gone there before with Linux Foundation.
Okay.
Yes, I have been there, I think, already two or three times, because at Google we have I have been there three times, because Google has also hosted two Ubuntu Developer Summits.
And they also hosted an Open Printing Summit a while back, and the hotel of choice was Wild Palms, which we liked.
And
when I looked at the price of hotels in the area, they looked much better to me.
You mean perhaps a PWG face-to-face, because an Open Printing Summit we did not have at Google. There was a Linux Foundation Summit at Google. And
okay, we had a Linux Foundation Summit that had an open printing track.
Yes, yes. But
at
the big 3-day event we never had hosted by Google.
Not as a freestanding open printing summit.
Yes,
no,
yes,
it was part of Linux Foundation.
And so it was one time Google, for me it was one time Google with the Linux Foundation and two times Google with Ubuntu.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's where we're staying, Andrew.
Oh, okay.
And,
yes.
And during the day, Wednesday morning, Till and I are going to travel up to San Francisco so we can get set up for the mid-afternoon 2 to 3:30 joint working session with PWG via phone from Cupertino.
Okay. I may travel up at the lunch break.
How long do you think the travel is at that kind of, I mean, if one doesn't go at rush hour or something?
It's not that far. I've done it in 50 minutes, that time of day.
Well, because we don't have to start until 2 in the afternoon. Till, what do you think about possibly writing up with Andrew from the PWG meeting?
Yes, I thought about that I can go with Andrew. So, Ira, when will you go over?
Well, that's what I was just saying. I had planned on going over, you know, Wednesday morning with you, but I would much prefer to stay and hear some of the IDS sessions of PWG in the morning and then go up over lunch, because we don't start until 2. We got plenty of time to get the logistics of the phone together.
Yes, yes. We start at 2.
So why don't we check out of our hotel in the morning and go to the PWG conference in Wednesday morning, and at least some of those sessions I at least can attend. I would think you would want to as well, Till. The topics are secure syslog, you know, as in the syslog protocol, and for jobs and printers, and identity authentication and authorization, that is AAA stuff for users and printers. So it should be in relevant topics.
Yes, yes. So how should we proceed on Wednesday? When should we, who of us should move over when?
Well, I was going to suggest we all three go in Andrew's car, if that's possible.
Sure.
At noon from the PWG directly to San Francisco on the open printing.
Yes, this would be great.
Because then we don't have to try and go up on our own Wednesday morning and arrange transport and then, you know, and like we're sitting on our hands going, well, good, we were here hours early, and all that happened was I managed to miss a couple of sessions where he's a co-editor of PWG.
Yes.
With any luck, the PWG will actually end early in the morning, so we would actually catch it all. There's only one more hour scheduled of imaging device security working group in the afternoon. That would just make it easier. Okay, good.
It works for me. I will have a big enough car to accommodate all of us comfortably.
That, I will have, I'm sure Till will too, I will have what the equivalent of one checked bag and one, my laptop carry-on bag, so
yes,
okay.
We'll
have
a lot of luggage. I will probably be only with carry-on case with trolley bag and a small backpack with laptop and camera, and this is more or less my baggage.
And I'm still debating, and I think I probably, because otherwise I'll go stir-crazy, probably will bring my travel guitar, but it is, you can actually put it in an overhead. It's legal as carry-on. It's this amazingly cool travel guitar. But, you know, I was not going to do it because of logistics and stuff, and I went, nah, but I'll go stir-crazy for a week. I don't have my guitar. Besides, there might be an open mic or a jam somewhere.
Anyway, I've got to run. I've got another meeting that I have to dial into.
Okay, good. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, George.
See you guys next week.
Bye.
See you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ira?
Yes, do that.